Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
All right, welcome to episode 76. This one is for all the authors. I tried something different here. What I did was I gathered a bunch of my author friends and we had a panel discussion. If you've never seen something like this, it's just a group of authors discussing a certain topic. And this particular topic for my first panel discussion was about world building events. Now, these are fairly unique in the author community. The only people I know that do these are Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon. And everybody on the panel is somebody that went to one of their author world building events. So it's a great conversation. We had a really good time, and I hope to do more of these panels, and hopefully authors get some value and use out of them. I'll put some links in the show notes. So if you're listening and you're interested in what these world building events are that Jay and Zach run, you'll be able to go check them out. They're a load of fun. We learn a lot. We have a great time and come up with some great stories. Everybody seemed to be under the consensus that it helped their career, it helped their writing. So that makes it worthwhile right there. So I will turn it over to the panel and we introduce everybody, and there will be links in the show notes for each of these authors. All right, folks, it's after four, so we'll get started. All I got is telling, for those of you that came in a couple minutes ago, I just had an idea. I wanted to add something to my podcast. I thought a panel would be really cool and came up with the discussion of talking about the world building events that we've been to with Jay and Zach. I know we got a lot of people. We've all been on Zoom enough. We can probably do this without everyone just interrupting and talking, whatever. We could do what we do with the mastermind. Raise your hand. But I want everybody, feel free to jump in. If you have a thought, just, I don't want this to go on forever because no one will want to listen to it forever. So as usual, if you've ever been on a panel, keep our thoughts to a couple minutes so everybody can discuss that. This is a good size for panel. So I think we're all good. We'll get started unless anybody has a question. I only got a couple questions, but I think it should lead to some good discussion on it. Let me make sure I get the right one pulled up here. I'll be asking you guys questions what I'm making on Thursday, which nobody cares. Where'd it go? There it is. Okay. So everybody, I lost it again. There we go. Welcome to the my first panel podcast episode. So yay for us. Before we get started talking about our topic, let's go around the virtual room and everybody who you are, and what you write, a little about yourself, whatever. So we'll start on my screen. JP.
Hello, I'm JP Reinflesh. I write things that are dark, strange, and queer. And I do a podcast, Serial Fiction Show, and Right Away Podcast.
Nice. And tell us your podcast, which the titles. And what have you written? Do you have anything out? If anybody wants to say that, please do.
Yeah, I think I'll just direct everyone to Nerds, which is on Kindle Vella. So if you type in the words Kindle Vella Nerds, N-R-D-S, in your Google search, you will find it. It is by J.T. Blakely, which is a co-author name between myself and Jeff Elkins.
Nice. And what's your podcast names?
Serial Fiction Show. And
the Serial Fiction Show is for writers and readers. You have two separate. One for each.
That is correct. There is the Reader Serial Fiction Show and the Writer Serial Fiction Show, all under the umbrella Serial Fiction Show.
Nice. Alicia, welcome. How you doing?
Hey, everybody. I am Alicia McCalla, and I write kick-ass Black women, main characters in science fiction, fantasy, and sometimes horror. What would you like to know?
You are our merchandising guru at the moment. Everyone comes to you for that. So real quick, briefly, yes. What's going on with that?
I have merch on my website. I have some superheroes. I have a few fairies, cups, mugs, t-shirt dress.
Nice.
All kind of.
Oh, hey, Kathy's in the waiting room. Crap. All right. Woo-hoo. There we go. We'll get to her. I'm glad she said that. I wasn't paying attention. All right. So Kathy's coming in. Hey, Kathy. Sorry. We were just getting started. We're going around introducing ourselves. So since you're here, go ahead. Kathy, introduce yourselves. Tell us about your writing.
Yeah. Hey, you guys know me. I'm seeing five of us. Is that correct?
A few more than that. There's okay. Seven total or six, eight total.
I'm sorry. Kinda. Okay, there we go. There's everybody. Yeah. Hi, I'm Kathy Spader. I write dark fantasy. I don't know how much more you want to know than that, but I have a dark fantasy trilogy out called the Wolfhead series. It takes place in 8th century Germany. It's Game of Thrones meets Dark Tower.
Nice. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm Tyler Piperbrook. I write science fiction, horror, and post-apoc. I've been a full-time writer for about 8.5 years. And let's see, I guess my latest is a zombie apocalypse story with a twist called Alive Again. It's on Vella. It's a serial, and it's also just released in ebook format on Amazon.
Nice.
So I've got that. I've got five other complete series. So I've got, now I start to get tripped up as you start to build more of a catalog, you know. So I've got The Ruins, The Last Survivors, Contamination, Outage, and Sandstorm are my other series. Nice. And you can find all that at twpiperbrook.com
and
or Amazon. Or
so in this regard, you're like the oldest, most experienced writer here with the most
maybe
stuff
oldest.
Out. Maybe oh no, Kathy has written. Kathy's written forever. Oldest in the terms of your writer life, but Kathy's written quite a bit forever.
Yeah. Journalism background.
Okay. Hey, Michael, up to you. How you doing? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, me. I am Michael X, the X-Man. I write anything fake, anything science fiction, fantasy, horror. First book should be out first quarter of next year. I've decided to stop dragging my feet and actually come to the other side and actually have something published. So that's me.
And I think most of us who haven't been writing for a long time, Alicia's got some stuff out. Kathy's got out. Juan's got some stuff out. Will's got stuff out. So JP, it's me and you dragging our feet now the most. Michael's
I'm catching up.
Yeah. You know, but you've got your Vella, so there you go.
It's harsh but true.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Michael. Lon, how you doing? Welcome.
I'm doing all right. Lon Varnador. I write science fiction and fantasy with a noir edge. My books, the first book I ever got out was mostly human, sci-fi fantasy or sci-fi detective thing. Then I jumped over to space opera. I'm working on the Junker Blues series. Third book will be out end of this month. Currently working on the final revision of that right now. And I also have something called Starlight Saga. First book is out, Chain of Starlight. Second book is going through the Vella process right now. And there's a fantasy Vella that I have one season of called The Guild Adventures of Morlaine.
Nice.
And that's about it.
And you've been to, I think, some like the most of the world building events.
I think so.
Maybe. You at least went to some of the very earliest ones.
I went to some of the early ones, yeah.
Tyler, you went to some of those too. So we've got a good mix.
Yeah.
All right, Will, tell us about yourself. How you doing?
Good. Hey there. My name is Will Pepper. And even though I look like Walter White from Breaking Bad, I do not make nor sell meth. But what I do make is I make click fiction is what somebody is called. I think Chris Kane has named it that. And it is like your old school choose your own adventure ebooks that are on available just through Amazon. And I'm leaving that behind because I have a techno thriller that we plan on releasing. My wife is my publisher and my editor. So we plan on releasing it. I would love for September. I would love for it to happen. I got edits in from our editor. I'm very excited about them, which means I don't want to strangle the editor. And that's a really good thing.
Good. Great. All right, everybody. Thanks. I appreciate you taking the time today. And hopefully we can have a good discussion about the world building. And for people who have no idea what we're talking about, hopefully it'll give them a good clue, and maybe we'll see more of this stuff in the industry. So let's start right off, because people are going, okay, what the hell do you mean a world building weekend, a world building event? So who wants to tell us in your words, what is one of these world building events that Jay and Zach have had?
Basically, Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon, they get a group of the writers and together in a specific location over a weekend. And over that weekend, they build up a world for a anthology for a shared, for a bunch of shared stories that people will write. They usually have people pair up with someone else and go through a process to figure out what you're going to be writing. And after the weekend, they send you off and give you a few months to finish the story before the anthology gets released.
Yep. Anyone else want to add to that? Things, how you would describe the world bending events?
I can say this. So you don't actually have to produce a story if you don't want to. So if you just want to participate in the event and just get into how do you do world building, how do you create things or come up with a unique concept. And one of the fun parts for me is that you always end up having a Pixar pitch or something that you can bounce off of others in the room to just get other ideas. Or sometimes if you don't have an idea, you just have something really vague, then you can also talk with the group and they can help you run with that idea according to the world building.
And I don't know if Lon mentioned the anthology afterwards, all the money goes to a charity. And the events are usually a specific style or type. Like the last two we had were vampires and witches. That was the theme. And they're in a city for giving it the atmosphere. So for the witches, we were in Salem, and for the vampires, we were in New Orleans. And I know they did post-apoc, rock-apoc up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and several, I don't know what some of the others might've been.
One of them was the Night of the Writing Dead in Pittsburgh. And that was the first one I attended back in 2018. So that one was pretty cool.
There was also the Sci-Fi Seattle one.
Right.
I was bummed I couldn't make that one. And then the very first one was again in New Orleans, and it was ghosts, and it was like Dark Shadows was a ghost and spirits. That was the first one that I think, at least I think.
Okay. So the question would be, if I'm sitting here listening to this going, okay, great, these world of meeting events, I can do that on my own. Why the heck would I go to a city travel and the expense and hook up with all these other authors I may not even know in a room for 2 days? Why would I do that and go to a world of an event? What does it give you? What has it given you, JP?
So I went to Rockapock in 2019. And before then I was just like doing my own thing, dragging my feet, not knowing where I was going for writing and listening to podcasts, but not really getting anywhere. It wasn't until I put myself out there and I met other authors, I was able to work with them creating this world. And then not only that, but talk to them afterwards, that I felt this communal aspect that just exponentially increased and improved my own writing, my craft, and my ability and like belief in myself that I can do this as a thing.
Nice. Tyler, you had something?
Yeah, I was going to say, you almost can't replace the energy that's in the room. Like it almost feels like a writer's room for a TV show. Like just being in person with everybody, and when everyone starts just bantering back and forth or throwing out ideas, and it's one idea will spark like three more, and it's almost like a chain of just everything just coming up at once. So it's just really cool. Like I said, it feels like a TV writer's room, and that's something you can't really replace virtually or definitely in your own silo at home, just writing at the kitchen table like I do.
Or in the basement.
One of the advantages for this type of meeting is it's what you don't know. You're in a room with a bunch of people that are experts in this field, or maybe even just appreciate the genre like you do. And it's something that they can bring out certain things. I was at a writer's conference recently, and this guy said he came up with this great idea and everything set up and it was wonderful. It was good. And he gave it to a beta reader and they said, okay, why didn't they call for help? And so at that point, he just slammed his head down, had to make everything post-apoc, and an EMP went off and stuff like that. But it's almost like having beta readers before you ever start. It is, okay, you know what you need to set your boundaries. And when people are saying, you can do this, but you can't do that, it really helps the writing as opposed to restraining it. People would think boundaries hurt, but it's, okay, I've got 45 minutes to write 500 words. In 45 minutes, you're going to write that 500 words. Now, if you give yourself 3 hours to write 500 words, you're still going to get 500 words in 3 hours. But those boundaries help.
Yeah, agreed. Kathy, you had something?
Yeah, there's really no experience like it. I've been to the Witches of Salem's and the Vampires in New Orleans, and the ambiance being together with a group of people who love to nerd out on that particular genre as much as you do and love to talk about it and get into it, and then being in a place where it's just so inspiring with the ideas. And I write history based, so I'm super interested. Did a bunch of history tours, was so inspired in both places. In New Orleans, one of the writers and I, after hitting one of the local pubs, we got a little late and we got lost walking around in one of the very haunted neighborhoods in Salem. So that was like an interesting experience. The hotel we stayed in that the conference was in was haunted. So you can't replace that with all kinds of Google research. Wikipedia just doesn't cut that.
Yeah. And so it's clear for everybody listening, it's not a where people get up and lecture and you write notes. It's not focused on let's learn craft and sentence structure. It really is to build a world. The couple I've been to, we usually had some guest speaker for Witches of Salem. He was a history professor that talked about the witches and had so much information. And we took a tour of the Witch Museum. And then for vampires, we actually had Dacre Stoker and talking about Bram and Dracula. So everything's designed to give you that soak it in. So the question would be, well, how does everybody go about writing? Because for, I don't know about the earlier ones, but what we did for the vampire one was we came up with the rules for vampires. So everybody followed a basic set, and then we were able to do our own. Somebody mentioned Will mentioned constrictions, but it helps you be free. What do you guys think about the actual creating the world? What'd you like? What didn't you like about Alicia?
So like Kathy, I did the Witches of Salem and I did the vampire one, and I learned a valuable lesson from the witches because I wrote way over the word count requirement. It was so hard because at that one, I think we did the world building, but it was so open and free and there were so many opportunities. And so I just went crazy with the world building because it is so immersive, because you do take that deep dive and you just get raring and you just get going. But when we went to the vampire one, I automatically knew, okay, I need to focus. I need to like, okay, how many words is this? I gotta realize, how do I do this? How do I cut those words down? You just need one line. You just need one thing to be able to do it. So I think that I personally learned how to write within those word count goals. And that's a big deal. And so what can happen in a world building with multiple world building wins, at least with one, is that you can just get so inspired and get so excited about it that you can overwrite, I think.
Michael.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the world building? What'd you learn?
This was my first one. So I had no idea what going in to expect anything. And so it was, especially when we were doing the whole process of, okay, what are the rules that we have to abide by? And some of them I can't stand, and I hate the concepts that we agreed upon, but I like it too, because then it is something where we created a unique world because everyone got their input, everyone added something to it. And I did like how it is one of those things where if you don't like rule A, you don't, as long as you don't talk about it in your story, it's fine, but just remember you still can't break said rule type thing. It was eye-opening, the event as a whole, just because when we were going over like creating the rules and everyone was giving their input, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, oh, I actually can write, because we're bouncing off of ideas of each other, and some of us said one thing, and that was one of the things that was already in my head. And so it's like, oh, okay, I do know what I'm doing. So especially with writers who are in my spot, who have been writing for a while, but they get that little voice in the back of their head saying, no, you can't do this. Going to an event like this definitely does help you understand, no, you're just stupid. Just get off the pot and get to work.
Yeah, I think everybody can agree that we've all had that, and getting together with lots of other writers actually helps all levels. What were you going to say?
Just that the two previous ones that I went to, the Dark Shadows one and the one up in San Francisco, both of them were more focused on also paired up writing. And that was one of the first times that both of those times were times that you were actually in essence forced to write with a partner. And so that's also something that helped in a learning idea, learning like the ropes and understanding your own process versus other people's process. So it helped, there was quite a bit of help in just in that. in understanding having to do and work with other people, work with one other person to make a story.
And they didn't really do that in the last two, but we did a few other things.
Right. But they said you can if you want to, but.
Right. Yeah. JP.
Just because of Lon mentioning that with the whole collaborative writing, which was the focus on Authors on a Train, that is how I met my co-author and we're working on a 6-part series. I have to give like a major shout out to Jay because he, at least for the two of us, he picked like the right two people to work together. And like within 5 minutes, we knew that we were going to be doing more than just this short story together. And that ended up being this whole project that right now is 6-book series, and we're talking about a massive story world with multiple different stories coming off of it. Just shout out there to like anyone looking to do these sorts of things. Like you could find your co-writer or you could just find people that you want to work with. So that's all I have to add to that.
And JP, we've talked a lot about community and you mentioned it earlier. It does really build the community. You get to meet these people face to face, which you never would have met. Most of we all live in different states, clear across the country from each other, most parts. So for anyone else on that before we next. Okay. So what were some things since you've been to one of these that it, how did it change your writing or how did it change your approach or what are you doing different in your everyday writing since going to one of these events? Oh, I stumped you. Okay. Tyler.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just going off the community thing, like I had Jay and Zach, I had known them for a number of years prior to the events, but I had never met them in person. So just fostering that community. So like on a day-to-day, and some of you guys too, and JP, I know we worked on some stuff behind the scenes for one of my series you're helping me with. So just having this not feeling like you're alone and writing, feeling like you have people you can reach out to or collaborate with or help you out with research or with Jack, Zach and Jay. I think I had been in an anthology with that Jay put together back in like 2012 or 2013, and I had never met him in person. And it's just such a different dynamic. It's such a different level of friendship when you get in a room with somebody. So I guess on a day-to-day, like I said, you feel a little less alone. You can reach out to some people to help you out.
And it's definitely easier sometimes to discuss and reach out when you've met somebody face-to-face rather than, because we're all in a Slack group, you meet people on Facebook and online, but if you don't know them, sometimes you get hesitant, as at least I do. JP, you had something? Oh. No.
But this kind of builds a little bit on what Michael was saying too, is during the world building event, we agreed upon this set of rules. Like, for example, the vampire one, our vampires will be killed with, you have to use a wooden stake to kill them. And I was sort of, there were some of the things we agreed upon as a group that I wasn't thrilled with. I thought, there's more cliches on vampires. But it really got me focused on how to use the cliches in a new way, in a different way. And I went out and got to know a local vampire by coincidence who like goes to the dentist to get her teeth made, like fangs and stuff, one of these. And it was amazing. Like just all of a sudden, like ideas that were completely different than anything I would have thought of sitting at home were just like sprouting. So it was cool.
Alicia.
I think for me, it fostered a love of writing short fiction. And just trying to get a deeper understanding of how you can create that complete arc with a short fiction, something that a reader would be satisfied with. And maybe something that's not like a tiny novel. I don't know if that, or a piece of a novel or something like that.
Right. Now, one of the things with the world building, there's no real restriction on like genre or who's in your story. That's not like they're all the same characters and tied together. If you want, you can tie this into your own series, any genre. Did anybody have any, either did you have feel like, I don't know if what I normally write would fit, or did you say, hey, I'm going to do something completely different and try something off the rails just to see what happens? Did anybody figure something out with that, JP?
So with the post-apoc one, we created this like world event, and it was basically like this nuclear bomb went off. And then we had people writing stories from like the moment it happened to thousands of years later. And it could go all the way into the weird and all the way into this fantasy-esque world, because who knows what the world would look like after that sort of event. I thought that was really cool. And I was able to explore some idea there. And then in the Sci-Fi Seattle, like, sure, it's sci-fi, but I went like cerebral horror in sci-fi, which was a really fun specific area to delve into. And then with Witches, I ended up using that as a platform for the series that I'm working on with my co-writer to make a short story that intertwined between the two. So yeah, like ultimately we were able to hit on all of those notes, and it's fun to explore how you can push the barrier as to like what the restrictions are and still like fall in line with them.
Yeah. This was, I was part of the Witches of Salem. That's the only one I've attended, but it allowed me, I don't write about witches. I write some supernatural, but I don't write about witches or Salem. So it really allowed me to get outside my comfort zone, because if you're writing, I got a technology background, I like tech, but it allowed me to sit there and say, okay, this allowed my brain like to try something completely different. And because it was a short, it allowed me to screw up, because I could say, okay, let's just see if I can get under 7,000 words in a story that makes sense, as opposed to a 70,000 word book. So it was really nice to be able to have those boundaries and say, here's what we have. And hearing everybody pitch their ideas was great to hear. Okay, I'm not that far off. It just felt good to be, like y'all have talked about, the camaraderie. So that was something that was very helpful to say, this does not link directly into, you know, a techno thriller, but it is something that it allowed me to try something completely different.
For me, the Witches one, because I write middle grade, so I wrote that so it would fit. I could use that story as is in a collection or just release it on my website, which we're all free to do. That's the other thing too. They don't take control of it. They don't take anything. It's all still your story. But what I'm going to do with Witches, just alter a few little things, and it's going to be a short story in my town magician world as is. So it fits. And then the new one, actually, with the vampires, it clicked on an old story idea I had. And then, so I'm writing that as a short story in that world. And then for the Essential Gathering, which is another event that Jay runs that we just went through, I use that story as my outline idea. And I had been sitting on it for 2 or 3 years. And suddenly I had the whole outline for the story, and it's way cooler and more complicated than I thought it would be a couple of years ago. So going to these events, it pushes you and you stretch and grow a bit. And then there's sometimes, at least for me, that little competition. Well, I got to do something a little better than Lawn, or I got to get something out there because JP had a 10-page story, so I need to do 11. There's a little bit of that too. That may just be me. Michael, did you have something?
Yeah. So because now there are like the word count and stuff like that. And it's been years since I've written a short story. So it was really interesting having to like start that process of thinking of, okay, how am I going to fit everything that's in my head in this short amount of words, as opposed to what I've been.
Nope. Lost you, Michael.
He's in deep thought.
The answer is 42 then. Oh, maybe maybe he'll
come. I've got something, I guess, maybe fill the air.
Okay, go ahead, Tyler.
Just going off of talking about using the short stories for other things, I did that exact thing with a zombie story. I ended up putting it in a collection that I have called Better Guns and Gardens. It's like a short story collection. So I took that zombie story, and it's funny because, you know, sometimes these characters will haunt you or whatever. Like, I've been thinking about a sequel short story to a story that I had in one of these anthologies. Maybe I'll do like a holiday theme one or something. I don't know. But yeah, and short stories really are their own animal. Like, they're tough sometimes. So like, they are almost like a book condensed into the short form, and you really have to land it. So they're tricky. But I guess one of my other points, and now that I'm thinking about it, participating in these events and doing the short stories and stuff, that kind of led me to want to do my own short story collection, which I was just talking about. And I did it because it's a challenge, because short stories, I just hadn't done a whole lot of them before. So like, just trying to figure out different ways, like I said, to land it or just to structure it and get all those ideas into this little short form story is a challenge, but it's cool. It's like a totally different skill. So it's fun to work on.
Sorry, that was me. Michael, are you back? Okay, Lon, and then Kathy.
Something similar is there's a fantasy series that I have in mind at some point that I wanted to write. And because of the witch's story, I use the main character from this series and as the central character in the short. And that writing that story helped to push me to want to start to write that series again. And also, I had a problem with a word count, because I think my final first draft was something like 8,000 words or something. So it was like, I had to cut a lot and it sucked because, and it was definitely a, one of those kill your darlings thing. Cause I had to cut the first two pages of it. And it was just, there were, it was really good. And I'm going to keep it at some point. I'm going to re-release this with the full thing. And it'll be something like 50 pages. It'll be like a little novella or something, but I'm going to have those pages back.
Nice. Kathy, you had something?
Yeah, another thing about these world-building events that's so great, and Jay and Zach have talked, when you're forced into having a few constraints on your writing, it is, this isn't a thing where it's just write anything you want for our short story anthology. We have to write within certain boundaries, but yet there's still a lot of creative freedom there at the same time. And I find that my creativity is much higher when I'm forced within some boundaries, because then it forces me to be more creative within those boundaries. So I find that like a hugely interesting experience and a lot of fun, more challenging almost than just saying, write whatever you want to write about, make any world you want.
Overall, if anybody disagrees with this, please. But overall, it sounds, if you're unsure about one of these events or you're like, that sounds weird, crazy, because it is different than anything else. It's not a conference. It's not a learning, teaching author talk or anything, but it sounds like everybody's pretty much, I went to it, had a great time, met some great people, learned a few things, and it pushed me to write, pushed me to get something out, pushed me to be an author. Alicia.
One of the things that I was thinking as you were saying that is that we, as writers, we go to tons of conferences. So I've been to a lot of conferences where you learn, it's like you're learning, but you're not actually doing. And I think what I have enjoyed about the world building events is that you're actually going and you're working. So you're learning and you're doing, you're being, doing, and learning. And I think that's super important. And I find that actually I like the world building events almost a lot better than I do the conferences, because you're coming away with either a Pixar pitch or multiple ideas of stories to write, and you're super inspired. Yes, I'm going to get in there and write this vampire story, or get in there and write this witch story. And I think that's different than you get inspired differently in a regular conference. I don't know if that's helpful to anybody, but.
Agreed. Michael, are you back? I saw him mute and unmute. Okay. So last question, if there's anything anyone wants to throw in or say, feel free. If you were helping design one of these, what would you love to see in the future? What are some things that maybe would make a great world building event? Oh, here comes Michael. Hold on. Wait. Maybe we'll see what he's got to say and then we'll finish. Think about that one for a minute. Michael's joining us. Okay, JP, go ahead.
So I really like the format that Jay and Zach use, and I really hope that other authors, they look to do this as well in the future. And I think that's something that Zach and Jay also encourage, because they know that they can't do this for everyone. They want to keep these small, because within 15 people, that's a really good collaborative group. What I would love to do in the future is for us to, as authors, to be in one centralized location. They did this with like authors on a train. We were all within this mansion, and there are occasions where we're in like hotels and then we collaborate together. And there's something that's missed when you have the after hours. So when people are thinking about dinner and they're hanging out and after dinner, and some people staying up until 2 in the morning, my co-writer and Zach playing video games. But there's something about having that communal space within those 2 to 3 days that really like reverberates, and it makes it all the stronger. And I think that if I were to do any of these events, I would explicitly do that. For anyone looking for these events, just couple of things that I would like highly recommend is always make sure that you get your rights so that you're not just like freely giving this away unless that's something you really wanted to do. And like that would be the key, is make sure that this story is something that you're able to retain and use elsewhere, because this is really just like a big learning experience. It's not really intended to be like, here, have my short story, bye. That's not, I don't subscribe to that. I
agree. Michael, since you're back, you were in the middle of talking about this. Do you have thoughts if you're still here? Sorry,
I am still here. I'm back, I should say. What was the question? What did I miss? My brain went.
Yeah, we jumped ahead a little bit. So the question we were talking about right now, if you were doing this or helping run one of these, what you'd like to see in the future. But if you want to, you know, go back a second, your thoughts on what you've learned also.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. So first of all, what I've learned, I don't even remember where I left off with that before everything went haywire. No, this is not your, sorry, it's my internet. No, so yeah, a lot, it was a lot of just learning to work within constraints, because now there's a word count, there's a deadline, where currently I'm writing for me and I want to get it out and done and all that. But now it's, oh no, I have a deadline and I have to have everything turned in by a certain time. I have to have a specific word count. I have to abide by the rules of the world. So that was like the nice thing about it, is that it makes you think more. It makes you really have to focus on what you're doing, as opposed to just, I'm just going to throw something on the paper and see what happens. But as far as the second thing he said, what was it? So if I was running one, you're muted.
For future events, what are some thoughts on what you would like to see in any future world building events?
Oh yeah, so one thing I like how some others were saying, but of working with another author, I think that would be amazing to try, because I'm always just writing me. So it would be interesting to see, especially like the writing process of other authors, especially if you had to work with one specifically and where you're both writing the same story and how that co-authorship type works. I wouldn't mind seeing more on the West Coast where I'm at in Arizona. I was in the New Orleans one, and I actually decided to drive. So that's of course my own choice, but I wouldn't mind seeing more on over here, because travel constraints and all that kind of things. Yeah, I think that's, since this is the first one I've ever been to, I didn't really know what to expect and all that. I was pleased with it.
Yeah, I agree. JP put over in the chat a ghost town, abandoned ghost town, westerns. That would be pretty sweet. And got a couple of smiles and agreements on that. We haven't done westerns and cowboys.
Yeah, feel free to come to Arizona.
I keep telling Jay and Zach to do American Werewolves in London.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. I don't think they've done the werewolves yet, so, right. But that would be a little bit of a trip for some people.
And that is something to point out, too. Most of these, at least what they've done, have been genre fiction. And it's been something almost paranormal along the lines, which I think is good, because that does open it up and allow you to tell many different types of story. If you were... if everybody was just like a romance writer, you might do like a Christmas thing, or you might do a theme with dogs or cats and something. But I think what they have chosen fits very well for just about anybody, any genre. Besides JP's Ghost Town, which I'd be all down for a Western theme one. Anyone else have any thoughts on what they'd love to see in a future lawn? Yeah, repeats.
Another sci-fi
type. Kathy.
Oh, let's all go stay in a haunted castle in the Highlands of Scotland.
Yes.
In a fantasy world where we could all just take the time off and have, you know, pay for that. But
speaking of the ghost ones and the haunted castle and that, you guys mentioned the Dark Shadows. There's actually a mansion that they filmed the Dark Shadows at. We could go stay at that or get something like the Ghost Hunters. Wouldn't that be cool to get them to come and take us through a ghost investigation or something? I think that'd be great. Other thoughts before we get off here? Any last minute thoughts on anything with world building or anything to tell people listening? Alicia.
I just think if you're an author and you've never attended one of these events, you should find your way to one of them no matter what. It's a great experience.
Agreed.
And to people that be watching this, if you're unable to attend events like this, you go in your local hometown, go to your library, form a group. And don't just start something with saying, okay, let's create a world. What do you think? Because you're going to get a lot of silence. What I would recommend is take something that everybody knows and then get everybody to talk about it. Example, I'm a gamer. I would say, okay, let's talk about Pac-Man. Okay. Pac-Man is a guy that looks like a little Cheez-It wheel that goes around and eats pellets. His job is to eat all the pellets and not get eaten by the ghost. If the ghosts eat him, he dies. But if he eats the big pellet, he eats them. And what are other rules to this? But then give something that they can feel that they can add to before saying, okay, let's create a world that's based on just science fiction. Go.
Agreed. Lon, did you have some? Oh, okay. I like that. I know I've gotten something published and I'm in this book, and my only responsibility is to hang out with some authors for a couple hours, a couple days, and then write a short story. And that, and I get something out that I can point to. And then it's one of those things, once you get something done, it's easier to do the next thing and the next thing and build on that. So that's extremely helpful for authors that I'd highly recommend. And like we've mentioned, there's not a lot of focus on like craft or how to write, how to do stories, and not a lot on publishing. It's mostly on the part where you're thinking up ideas. You got, now we have an answer when someone says, so where do you get your ideas? I get them from Jay's world building events. All right. Anything else anybody have before we get going? Folks, I appreciate it. Thank you. My first panel for the podcast.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.